All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for being our God. We love you so much, God. Sometimes we get sidetracked, Lord, but you always bring us back. I thank you for that. We're coming into these times of turmoil all around the globe. And I know that things are heating up. We're looking for the anointing of the man child. That great and wonderful time that's going to be with the wisdom and the power of you manifesting in your people. Father, I can't even imagine the magnitude of what's fixing to happen with the man child coming in and taking over, speaking the things from you, Lord, straight from you. You said he's going to be just like Jesus. Jesus said he didn't do nothing unless the Father told him. I believe that's what the man child's going to do too. Oh my Lord, we can only pray that we're going to be a part of this great bride ministry. And Father, we know by faith that we are. And that's how we get into it, is by faith. We're sanctified by faith. And Father, I just praise you for the work that you're doing in us. Because we're speaking those things that are not as though they were in our lives and the people around us. And we thank you, Father, for the work that you're doing in us, bringing us ever closer to you, Lord, so that we can hear that still, small voice tell us, don't do this, do this. I got some great news for you. You know, those kinds of things, Lord. It's awesome to just imagine and to think and to meditate on your word. And to understand it, it coming straight from you, Lord. The great I am, the creator of the whole universe, is speaking to us through that word. Thank you, Lord. You didn't have to choose any of us, but you did. And I'm glad that for it too. And I'm thanking you, Father, for your anointing tonight for everybody on here, Lord. That everybody will just grasp what you want us to do, Lord. And walk right into that doorway of wisdom that you have for us out of your word. Father, I just praise you and glorify you for what you're going to do this evening amongst us. Believers here, or like-minded believers. And I know when we come together that the heavens open up and you're sitting on the edge of your chair waiting to see how you can bless us. And we're ever vigilant to be waiting and determined to understand and to have the faith to believe that when we do pray, you answer. Father, I just praise you and glorify you. And you know, I want to jump up in your lap, Lord. I know all of us do. We want to jump up in your lap and grab a hold of you and hug you and thank you for all the things you've done for us. Oh, Father, the great rewards that you have for your people. If we could only picture a piece of it that would keep us going, Lord. I thank you for all you're going to accomplish tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God forevermore. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? Yeah. Leo, go ahead, brother.
I'm just thankful that I had a great week. The Lord really blessed my work and our hands this week. We took a company live today, this week in Illinois. that I've been spending some time at. And I got to work with one of my coworkers for a couple of days. He's more on the financial side of things while I do more operations. But he's been starting to dive into the QAnon stuff, and he's noticing how everything's a lie and how everything's deceiving. And he comes from a Baptist upbringing, but he kind of left it all when he got married and moved. So I got to witness to him quite a bit, and I said, look at these people, they're worshiping Lucifer, you know, and it's reality to them. And if Lucifer exists, that he's being worshipped, then God must exist too, you know. There's got to be, you know. I just said it simply like that, and he agreed. He's like, yeah, that's true. And so I just want to pray for him, that God, Lord, you see this friend of mine, my coworker Wes. Thank you for letting me witness to him. I got to drive him to the airport for about an hour and a half and drop him off. So we had a good discussion about you, Lord. And I thank you that you're opening his eyes to what this world's all about. And I want to also pray for his wife that has completely, you know, shut out any kind of truth and her left-leaning ideology. I break the spirit over her that's causing her to go against her husband. And Lord, you bring them into you and give them that unity that they need, that they never had before. I pray that you bless his travels going home, and that you bring his soul into salvation, Lord, and his wife as well, and their kids. And you show them the truth, Lord, and grant them that freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we believe with Theo that this is happening even as we speak, that you're working on Les right now, and you're working on his wife too, Lord. We just believe. We put them both on your altar, Lord, but we know that you're going to bring them in a mighty way, both of them. Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Les and his wife. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Lord. Yeah, Lana.
I have a great report on Sunday. I became very badly car sick, so I just rebuked it, and I kind of sucked it up for the rest of the day and the ride back home. But the Lord did take it away from me by the following morning, and then I began struggling with headaches shortly after that, and a very, very painful stiff neck. So I also put that in the Lord's hands, and I rebuked all that. And it took a couple days, and I knew the Lord was testing my faith, so I endured. Not that there's much else I could do, but really, I kept reminding myself that I was healed and that I didn't have to look for a chiropractor. There was no pain medications. I just continued to rebuke the headaches and the stiff neck, and it's gone. Praise God, it's gone. It took a couple days, and
amen.
Thank you, Lord. I could have written it off as something that it'll wear off by itself, but I refuse to do that because it could have been a whole lot worse, especially amen. After the car sickness on Sunday. So amen. It's been a week of tests, but I praise God for it, for letting me exercise my faith.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Next time it'll be a whole lot easier.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Stephen.
Well, I was going to say that we had maybe a month or two ago, we had these, this spring, we had these great big, like, bumble type bees. They don't really sting you, but they're a little smaller than a hummingbird. I mean, they're not that big, but they're great big bees, and they just kind of fly around stupid, and they bump into you, and they're kind of obnoxious. And so Helen and I were talking about how to get rid of them. So I said, well, why don't we just instruct them to leave in Jesus' name? And so, you know, find a new home somewhere else, you know. And, you know, about a month later, it kind of diminished after a couple of weeks. And about a month later, I haven't really noticed them. Maybe she's seen a couple of them around, but they're pretty much gone. So I guess they decided to move somewhere else. But
praise God.
So, yeah, that was pretty nice to see that.
What were they, carpenter bees?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that may be what they're called. They're like – They're like, you know how flies get when they get real big and fat and stupid and about ready to die? They're like that.
That's a horse fly.
Yeah, I think they're like an inch long, maybe.
Yeah. I have really a paddle that I use on the front deck. I have a paddle. I have a paddle that I use on the front deck if a bumblebee's come around. I love to swat at them. Ow, hit them, knock them out the way. Because well, yeah, they only
moved, so I was happy to see them gone.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord. I know they're good for something, but not around my deck, not around our deck. Okay, Sue, go ahead.
I know what they're not, this is not what I'm raising my hand for, but I know what they're good for. They're good to, for making a hole when you need a hole. You know, to put a screw in or something, or a bolt.
That'd be a big bolt, because that's about a half-inch hole that they put in.
Oh, we had a bunch of them on our deck. I know, that's why I know. I was blessed today by, I went to go get some fish over at Captain D's. And I was parked right real close to the window where you get it after you pay for it and everything. And I had to turn my car off, and my car's been running fine. I turned my car off. Next thing I know, I'm trying to start it. It won't even start. It's dead, completely dead. But I have lights and all this stuff, so I knew it wasn't the battery. But it was totally dead, and I couldn't move it forward because I couldn't get out of my car. It was too close to the wall. And I knocked on the window after they gave me the stuff, and I said, I can't start my car. I don't know what to do. Because I did pray, and it wouldn't do it. It wouldn't do it. And I know I prayed before, and I had the car start when it was doing this before, but it wouldn't do it. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm not going to get upset about this. I'm just going to be fine. You have a reason for this? You know, you're under control, because I had seen 444 earlier, and I thought, okay, God's in control. And so I thought, okay, you're in control, Lord. I don't know what this is all about, but anyway, I'm knocking at the window, and they said, oh, this girl comes over to the window. She says, I told her I had car trouble. She said, oh, do you mind if I check it for you? She says, I'm always checking on my car. I said, no, I don't mind at all. She says, we can move it forward. We'll push it forward for you. If you put it in neutral, we'll push it forward so you won't be by the window. So they come out, the girl and a boy, guy, two young ones. They come out, and they pushed my car. And I couldn't steer with it. I mean, it went straight, you know, because it was off, but it was in neutral. And I said, wait a minute, you got to stop. I can't get in a parking area. I can't turn. So anyway, they stopped. And then they said, do you want us, you know, the one girl, she says, you want us to check your battery? And I said, it's probably just the cable, you know. And so I, you know, they checked it out and everything. And the one guy, he moved the cables and stuff, and then I went to go start it, and it started right away. So I knew it had to do with the cables. But the funny thing was, I said, I know why this car did that. I said, I'm supposed to give you a couple books. I got some books in my trunk. And they were wearing masks inside, you know. And they're Christians, you know. Captain D's is Christians. And they were wearing these masks, and I said, I got some perfect books for you. God's Vaccine. So I've got, you know, and then one guy, he says, well, I don't read much. I don't read. And she says, yeah, I'd be willing to take it. So I gave her two, because I thought, give him one, and maybe he'll read it. So I look upon that as it was my car. The Lord used my car to get to witness to these people. I said, that's why my car did this, because how would I be able to give you books? I didn't know you needed them. So it was kind of neat. I thought it was kind of neat.
Amen. Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead, Steven.
I had a car that didn't always start, but sometimes you had to push it all the way up into park. Like if it was in park, it wouldn't start, but if you pushed it all the way up into park, it would start. And so it was like a kind of a safety cutoff switch. So, you know, I don't know if that might have been a problem with your car or not, but you put it in neutral, so you change gears, and then you know, when you went to start it, you might have put it in a different place in park or started in neutral, and might have, sometimes that makes a difference.
Amen.
No, I've had this problem before. It didn't start even when they pushed it and I had it in neutral. I tried turning it and it still wouldn't start until I opened up the lid, you know, and then they jiggled the cables. That's when it started after that.
Yeah, it probably just has a cable that needs cleaned connecting to the battery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we had a little war going on in the chat room there about swatting bumblebees and things with table knives. Judy is an expert ninja bumblebee swatter, it seems as though. How many pieces did you swat it before it hit the ground? One. Okay. Amen. All right. Who's next? Praise God. Y'all feel the excitement in the air? I'm not talking about anything special, but just the excitement in the air. God, God, me, I do. I do. I know some of y'all do. Some of you get saved when you do that. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. All right, who else? Who's got a testimony? Or would like to be prayed for, or would like to pray for someone? Texas governor did? Oh my, I thought he was a conservative. You've been listening to them doctors too much. Okay, no problem. Go ahead, Will.
Hello, hello. Michael, I just want to ask for prayer. I just need prayer tonight, please.
Okay. Anything specific, Will?
No. Just, I guess, to endure and to gain the victory, I guess. Yeah, that will be good.
Okay. Well, Father, we lift up Will to you. Lord, he loves you. I'm asking, Father, that you just give him a touch from you, Lord. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're putting him in a position of faith to believe what your word says, regardless of the things that goes on around him. It's a test, just like the rest of us, Lord. We all go through these tests and these trials. Lana was talking about it earlier. And these trials and these circumstances that come around, come in front of us, Lord, we know that you orchestrate them for one thing, and that's to mature us and to make believers out of us and to bring about bold faith in us so that we can help other people. I lift him up to you, Lord, and I thank you for the victory that you've already given him. I believe it. I see it. I know what your word says. And I break the power of Satan that's coming against him and his family in Jesus' name right now. I thank you for your protection. I thank you for your big warrior angels all around about him and his family right now in the name of Jesus. That no weapon formed against him shall prosper because he's got his eyes on you, Lord. And I praise you, Father, for putting him into your hands, Lord, and loving on him, filling him up with your Holy Spirit in such a way that ain't nothing left but you in him, Lord, and I thank you for that. I praise you, Father, for the work that you're doing in Will. And I thank you, Lord, that you would open up his eyes to see in the spiritual realm the things around about him, that he doesn't have anything to worry about. Thank you, Father. And I break the power of the enemy all around about him right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for putting peace and joy and rest in his heart. In Jesus' name. Anybody else want to pray? Go right ahead. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. Yeah, Julie.
Lord, I'll just add on to that. William, Lord, I just bind up the powers, the principalities, strongholds of doubt, unbelief, uncertainty, fear, worry, anxiety, and any lie of the enemy that would come against him. Lord, I pray that you gird up William, help him get all of his armor on and keep it on, and be wise and discerning about all the thoughts that the enemy would try to fire in there, and he'd be able to cast them down and speak boldly your word, and that you give him patience and endurance and know that it's already done, that he doesn't have to struggle, he doesn't have to think about it anymore. It's already taken care of. And we just thank you and praise you, Lord, and we give you highest praises. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Father, I pray that you strengthen our dear brother Will in the inner man by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, strengthen him that he grow not weary in well-doing, for in due season he shall reap if he faint not, that he hold fast the confession of his faith, that it waver not for your faithful that promised. Father, that he cast all his care upon you, and you will sustain him, and you will not allow the righteous to be moved. Father, I just pray not only for William, but for all of us here, Father, an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. That joy, peace, and righteousness that is the kingdom. Father, that you strengthen all of us in the inner man. Father, that we walk worthy of the vocation unto which we have been called. That we have the strength, the grace, the faith, the love, the desire to press towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, truly you are able to do exceeding and abundantly more than we can ask or think. And Father, you are a God of mercy, a God of grace. Father, we are just so very thankful. Your wisdom's beyond our understanding, and your ways are beyond our finding out. You're faithful when we're not. Your mercies are new every morning. And Father, we just thank you so much for what you're doing here in this special time of preparation that you're doing in us and with us and for us and through us what only you can, Father. That you're working both willing to do your good pleasure in our lives. You've got a good plan for our lives, a plan to prosper and not to destroy and to bring us to an expected end. And Father, that we just have peace. We have peace. And Father, we are so excited for the things that are coming to see your name glorified in all the earth. And we thank you and praise you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
I come against any witchcraft coming against Will right now in the name of Jesus, and I cast it down as null and void. Any curses spoken against him or his family, his mom, and all of whatever's there. And I praise you, Father, that he is protected by your warrior angels round about him right now in Jesus' name. That any curses spoken against any witchcraft against him go right back where it came from, tenfold. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for protecting our brother Will and his mama Louise. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Marabosite. All right. Anybody else? or to pray. All right. Thank you, Lord, for the victory, for Will and Louise. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We know that you've already answered our prayers, Lord. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. No, yes. Glory, hallelujah. Oh, my. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Lana.
Can I share a song with y'all?
Sure, you can.
Okay,
is it going to be in English?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
probably. Maybe I'll do a rest of one next time. But this one I've been singing for the last couple of days, so it's one of my favorites. Wonderful, merciful Savior. Precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace. Our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Lord. Lana, you've got to put your YouTube channel down in the chat room so we can visit and hear you sing some more.
I don't have one, but I should sing more often. I do love
that
it.
That was good. Now we'll know next time you come to visit what to do. That was good. Thank you so much.
Thank you for letting me share. It makes me just as happy.
Yeah. That's an awesome song. I wish I knew the words to it, but that's okay. I just sing in the spirit. Amen. All right. Anybody else? I'm pumped up. I don't know about y'all, but I'll be so pumped up. My goodness. And that song just capped it off. Anybody else got a prayer, a song, a comment, a testimony, a praise report? Yeah, Megan. Can't hear you.
In the fourth room.
There we go.
Okay. I have a prayer request. I have trouble finding a social security card for my mom because she's supposed to renew her driver's license.
Okay, you're cutting out a little bit. Did you say your mother's driver's license has expired or something?
No, she, social security card have been lost, and we're trying to find it in order to get her driver's license. We renew her driver's license.
Oh. She's having trouble finding her social security card.
No,
I can't. You're breaking up a little bit. Somebody can understand. Go ahead, try one more time, Megan. Down there, yes, in Texas.
Any prayer requests for her mom? We couldn't find a social security card so she can able to renew her driver's license.
Okay, I got it that time. That was good then. It was real clear. Well, okay, Lord, we lift up Megan's mom to you and Megan too. We thank you, Lord. You're going to place that Social Security card where they can find it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that your angels right now knows where it's at, going to pick it up, put it somewhere where Megan or her mom can see it. And, Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's going to happen. Just believe it. Go home, tell Mama. Mama, don't worry about it. The angels is bringing it to you in Jesus' name. Because it's coming. You're going to be amazed, Megan, how it's going to show up. Because it's going to be in a place you didn't think it was. Because it wasn't. Because the angels placed it there. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We've had that happen a number of times. Okay, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Megan and her mom. We know you're going to do it because you love them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Anyone else? The accolades are still coming in, Lana.
What's coming in? Thank you. I was just telling Theo that I'm believing for my external hard drive. I can't access it. And I was going to buy a new cord to fix it. And I said, you know what? It's healed in the name of the Lord. It won't turn on, but I'm enduring in my faith. I've been reading the real good news, and I'm learning to endure in my faith. And so if y'all can believe with me while I'm on the chat right now, please do so, because I'd really like to access the stuff on the hard drive and see the Lord's work instead of buying a new cord.
Okay. Oh, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you did that for us. You can do it for Lana. We thank you, Lord, Amen. That the hard drive is restored in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. I know you're sitting up there on the edge of your seat saying, watch what I'm going to do, Lana. Watch what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe it's done. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Greg, go ahead, brother.
Just a comment. I haven't heard about that house yet. What is it? Friday morning here. There was a flurry of activity on, I think it was Wednesday, asking for all sorts of papers and documents, took care of all that, went off to the corporation that owns the property for approval, and haven't heard at this stage. So just comment at this point of time.
Okay. Well, you've got it in Jesus' name. You've got it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Greg. We just praise your holy name, Lord, because we know you love Greg too. And we just praise you, Lord, that you're going to put him in that place, and he's going to be so satisfied, and he's going to be so thankful to you, Lord. We're going to be singing and dancing the glory with him, too. He'll be dancing in that house. We're going to be dancing with him in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. All right. Oh, more house hopping. That's right. It's going to be just Greg in that house, him and Jesus. And that's the majority right there. Thank you, Lord. And all of us in there with him. Okay. Anyone else? Y'all want to hear a good dream? Huh? Y'all want to hear a good dream?
This one of yours? No, is this one of yours, Michael? One of your wildest dreams?
No. This is from Sandy. But it's a good one. Now, think parallel. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Okay. This is from Sandy from June the 30th. The way this dream starts, there is a man running down a dark hall. And from this point, I see what he sees. He opens the two doors and the room is dimly lit. On the outer part of the room, I see men with assault rifles, some dressed in camel, others in green, and others in black. There's about 100 people in the room. And I don't know who they are, but they are arguing. Then I see Hillary Clinton with Barack Obama. Hillary is arguing. You told me I had nothing to worry about, that I was going to win, Obama said. Well, you also told me that your satanic friend were going to stop the true believers from praying. That's when I saw the man that was running. He was a giant, like King Kong. And in one hand, he grabbed Hillary, and in the other hand, he grabbed Obama. Then they started yelling at the giant, "You stupid fool, bigger men than you have tried to take me out." Then Obama said, "You know who I am? I'm the President of the United States." And the giant turned around and started running. When he got to the door outside, there was an old-fashioned paddy wagon. Now it was dusk. He threw them into the paddy wagon, and that's when I saw that the giant was H.G. Barr, Attorney General. Now it's dark. There's an old building. The giant walked in there and opened the double doors. It looked like a courtroom full of judges. The giant went in there and grabbed four judges in one hand and four in the other hand, and they all were panicking and screaming, "You can't incarcerate us. We are judges. We are the law." He turned around, went outside, threw them in with Hillary and Obama. He wasn't having none of it. The judges started yelling. They were saying, "You said we could do whatever we wanted as long as we kept your agenda and do the bidding for you." And when the giant turned around, I saw that it was Trump. Barr went to Adam Schiff's house, pencil neck. It was the middle of the night. He grabbed him in one hand, threw him in another paddy wagon. He was saying, "You can't take me in. You don't have the authority. And who in the do you think you are?" Barr said, "Shut up. You have a gag order." Trump goes to Nadler's house, Jerry Nadler, and pulls him out of bed. He said, "You can't take me anywhere. I'm not going. Where's the media? People will kill you for this." Trump throws Nadler in the paddy wagon with Adam Schiff. He's yelling, "I told you I won't go. I'll have you killed for this." Trump gave him a thump on the forehead and said, "Shut up. We're all tired of hearing you talk." Praise God for everyone. This is like a funny book. You know what I'm saying? This is cool, though. This is a dream, man. Sandy has some great dreams, and they all come to pass, too. There are two men talking, both upset. Why haven't you stopped the true believers? Him, Satan, himself told us to do whatever it takes. Well, he told you to start the civil war. Well, he's not going to be happy for what's going on now. How come you didn't know that they were going to arrest us? I don't know. I can't understand it. They have a special covering. I don't know what it is. Oh, no. I feel it now. Now I'm standing in front of an old building. Barr and Trump opened the doors and went down some steps. Then they opened double doors. It was a large room with people arguing against themselves. It was loud and it was hectic. There were three groups, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and Aryan Nation. There were a lot of them armed with assault weapons plus other weapons. When they saw Barr and Trump, the leader said, attack. They started shooting and ran to them to beat them up. But Barr and Trump both took a stance with the legs spread and their arms far apart, and the bullets bounced off of their hands and went back to the sender. Superman, come on, boys, do it. The sun came out and the doors opened, and the more sun came in, and I woke up. See, by random, she got Daniel chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou Daniel, who art of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? I have heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in thee. And now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. But I have heard of thee that thou canst give interpretation and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold about thy neck and shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Praise God, as the God the Father, Jesus, and the man child, right? Oh, my gracious forevermore. This is awesome. That's another comic book stance there. That's a good one there, boy. I like that one. That's awesome. Ship. That's Pencil Neck. We call him Pencil Neck. He's the guy with the long neck and the bug eyes, you know. Yeah, Leah.
Yeah, I just wanted to share with you, in one of the older King James versions, talking about Daniel there, he said that, Belshazzar said that he could untie knots.
Oh, really?
One of the interpretations of what he could do, untie knots.
Yeah.
I like that.
Well, yeah, he could. He could unravel those things, couldn't he? Amen. Shift, I'm trying to think of his official title. What's his official title, Leah? Dummy?
He's the chairman of the security conference.
Okay.
Nunez wasn't last session. He is this session.
I got you. Okay. Well,
I was actually Googling. It seems his title is Pencil Neck on Google.
Yeah, you Google him, he'll show you who he is. Put him Pencil Neck. Oh, my. Thank you, Lord, for your humor. Thank you, Father, for your comic strip characters. Okay, anybody else?
I just wanted to comment. Sandy, some of her dreams are like that. They're just very humorous the way they play out. It's just hysterical sometimes. And the best is getting her to tell you the dream, because it doesn't matter how. I've never heard her tell a dream, except maybe one or two, where when she tells it, no matter how serious it is, it's always funny. Just wanted to put that in there.
Just a little side note on Sandy. She came from Arkansas, where I was. We all knew each other in Arkansas. When she'd have a dream, she'd ask me about it. And I'm no dream interpreter by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, you want to take this. She'd have a dream. She said, "What do you think that means?" I said, she said, "Is it literal or spiritual?" I said, "Well, it's probably spiritual, and it means this." And then the thing would come to pass naturally. I said, "I missed that one, didn't I?" And then I did that two or three times. Her dreams are mostly natural dreams. They come to pass, you know. When she has a dream about something, it comes to pass. She had dreams about us coming out here. It came to pass. But anyway, that's a little side note. She came to UBM through our Bible studies. We'd have Bible studies over at her house. Okay, anybody else? I want to talk about. I feel good. I don't know about y'all. I feel good. I see too many somber faces. I mean, like, what? You lost your best friend or something, for goodness sake. You got Jesus inside of you. Don't you know who that is inside of you? Glory to God. It's the power of God you got there, folks. My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. What y'all talk about? I'm open for suggestions, because I didn't have any kind of an agenda tonight. I'm just going to be led by the Spirit. God's vaccine. He's got some good vaccine, I can tell you that. It works too. Yeah, Stephen?
Oh, here we go. I'm unmute myself. I was thinking about Isaiah 9:6. Make sure we get that, and I'll read it here. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." We notice this talking about Jesus, but I was wondering if this is maybe also talking about the corporate body of Christ, where it's talking about the government shall be on his shoulder, where, you know, God's kind of looking, expecting us to pray up and down various different things to come, and kind of more like be in charge of the government than, you know, respond to him, but more like be sort of more the instigator of what things are going to be coming.
Okay, look, can I interrupt here just a minute? I've got to pray just for a minute. Lord, I lift up Allison to you. I command that spirit of suicide off of her right now in the name of Jesus. I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. I break your power over her, and I command it by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command that spirit of depression to go, that spirit of oppression to go in the name of Jesus. Loneliness, go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of addiction, I command it to go right now in the name of Jesus. Any kind of effect from any kind of drugs, prescribed or otherwise, you go from her right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask and I pray that your warrior angels be right there with her, Lord. Comfort her. Bring her into the kingdom, Lord. She's been a tormented girl for a long time through the use of prescription drugs. And I thank you, Father, for bringing her to the point where she'll cry out to you, because you're her salvation, not me and not her mom. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work right now in Allison. And those spirits that have hindered her, what's the name of that spirit? All spirits, all tormenting spirits go from her right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you put your peace and your love and your joy into her heart, Lord. I ask that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Allison. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all believe that? Thank you, Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You're getting her attention. Getting her attention in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe it. Okay, I'm sorry, Stephen. Isaiah, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, Isaiah 9:6.
Okay. What was your question? I missed that too. I was trying to.
No, that's fine. That's fine. This is we know it's about Jesus, but I was wondering if it is applies to kind of the corporate body of Christ too, in that a child is born, a son is given, the government should be upon his shoulder. If that's sort of God's instructing us to kind of take control of the government spiritually.
Well, could be. The government shall be upon his shoulder. Well, if it's on his shoulders, it's on ours too, right?
I guess that would be true, yeah.
Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother. Leon's got the answer.
Yeah, also in the millennial reign of Christ, it'll be those that are overcomers that'll be in the government, that'll reign over all the people. Because it says that, reign with a rod of iron. And then in Revelation 3, he says that the overcomers reign with a rod of iron. And it also says that we will be reigning in the government at that time. So. But you're more talking about in this life, right?
Yes, I was talking about this life. But I think Revelation 3 also is talking about that's the Philadelphia church I think he's talking to. So that would be the bride, and that would be in this life as well.
Mm-hmm.
With the rod of iron.
Right.
Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, I was reading on where brother was at. Verse 7 says, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. Could that mean the same thing, what you're saying?
For sure. Yeah, I believe it.
Amen.
Y'all give me a second here. Go ahead and talk.
Thank you, Lord, for giving Michael the right words to text back to whoever he's texting to. In Jesus' name. Your words, Lord, in Jesus' name.
And give Michael peace and give him rest and help him keep his focus on you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Get all that icky stuff off of him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
For wiping that stuff off, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Okay. What else y'all see there? There's always been somebody throughout history that the Lord has designated to carry on, you know, the truth of the gospel. Always. You can look back in history. I've read a lot of way back when type people that some of y'all never even heard of that were reformers in their time. Way back in the 1400s, the 1200s, back in those days, there were men and women that always carried the torch, so to speak, for the Lord in a way that they carried that torch of holiness and sanctification through many trials, you know, the Catholic Church and all of that kind of stuff. So, yep. Yeah, I believe that, and I believe we're going to see, well, we're already seeing it, aren't we? We're already seeing the truth come out like never before. Millions of people come on this site every year, millions. So people are getting the truth. I can tell you some more. Middle East has got a revival going over there that would blow your mind. Started out with one man and going through many countries right now. They started out with one man about a year and a half ago. And it spread throughout the whole area. They're turning Muslim schools into Christian schools. It's wild, man, what God's doing. It's awesome. He's going to do that here. Amen. It's going to be people in the apostate religions that's going to catch that truth and come out. He says, separate yourself from them, just like we have. They're going to do the same thing when they figure out that they're in the wrong religion.
Amen.
Okay. Anybody else got something they'd like to speak about?
Well, that's what it says in the 16th verse in Isaiah here, chapter 9.
Amen. I remember one, you know, those things that the Lion of Judah on YouTube puts out where there's a montage of, I don't think it's Lion of Judah, yeah, montage of preachers talking about a certain subject, and they'll just kind of give a little bit, and the next, it'll go into the next one, and it's really kind of good. I heard Paris Reedhead say that you have, let me think here how he put it. He said, you've got one, I forget what he called him, I'm sorry. I'll think of it in a minute and give it to you. In essence, that's what he was saying. You've got one guy that don't know anything about the word teaching some other guy about that the same thing, and they just a progression, you know. One blockhead lead to another blockhead. That's all you got in the apostate church anymore, you know. Teaching somebody else something that they don't know. But God's fixing to
fix all that. He's doing it. He's fixing it. Yeah, listen.
His sermon, 10 Shekels and a Shirt, is an awesome sermon.
That's the one it came from. It came from that one, 10 Shekels and a Shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an awesome, one. It's there. What y'all want to know? When's Jesus coming? He's already here. Go, Will. Go ahead, Will. Excuse me.
I've got something that I want to read, but I just want to ask, does anyone know about Belinda Anderson, how Belinda Anderson is doing?
Who is Belinda Anderson?
I know her from the teachings. She gave a testimony a few years ago. And I think she's got songs on the...
Oh, Belinda. Yeah. Oh, she factioned out.
Ah.
Yeah, she factioned out. We believe she'd be back. We've had dreams that she'll be back. She factioned out.
Ah, because she gave such a nice testimony about her husband being born again before he passed a few years ago. We were just interested to know how she's doing. Okay, but she'll be back. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, she will. She she hooked up with a, I don't know. Well, anyway, she'll be back.
What I wanted to read was a few scriptures, and it's a good prayer request as well. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Ach, I just think... if I can just be like that all the time, you know, in every trial, after every hard day, just be praising and blessing the Lord, like Paul and Silas, you know, that type of attitude. I put a big marker in that part of my diary. And it's such a thing to be, if I can just reach that point where I can always be like that, you know, it would be a great blessing for me. I think I started, but... I've had a revelation about this a few years ago, and I must say there's been like 10 nights where I actually, after a tough day, where I actually did that, the same that Paul and Silas did, just praised the Lord until the angels came down. And it's easier said than done, but it's so crucial just to be in praise mode all the time, but from your heart, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is. He inhabits our praises, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate those verses.
can't take credit. I didn't write.
Thank you for
posting. You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, anybody else? Okay. Yeah, for you.
So we prayed for my sister and her fiance a while back. Well, he's coming here, and we're throwing a wedding next weekend, so I'm going to probably take the week off and make this thing happen. So if we could you pray for him, Michael, pray for his trip, pray for the preparations and all of that, so just so that the enemy has no power, has no way to stumble any one of us or in him or my sister or anybody, that the whole thing is blessed. And
amen. What Theo said, Lord, we're just praying magnitude, and we thank you, Lord, that this is going to be the smoothest, joyful time that they've had together in years, Lord, because you're in charge. And we praise you for it, Father, that your warrior angels are there right now scattering all the divisiveness and faction. And Lord, we thank you for that. We just believe it, that we're going to hear the good report when they come back in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for a happy, joyful time.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Can't talk him out of it, huh? I'm not. Go ahead, Lord.
I was actually just wanted to share, as my walk with Christ grows, as typical me by nature, when I start to learn new things, I start to question all the old things. And recently I went to a store, and as I walked into the store, there was a man standing at the door and handing out masks. And I didn't like it, and this was a few weeks back. And so I immediately started giving him a hard time in the way of, hey, what changed from last week? Because I was there the week before, and I was coming back to do a return. And I was like, well, what changed last week? I was here last week, and you guys didn't require masks, and now I have to wear one, you know? And he was like, well, you know, you just got to wear one. I'm wearing one to protect you, and you wear one to protect me. So, I didn't really go beyond that. And I kind of felt bad about it. Later, I was just like, that wasn't very nice. I shouldn't have said anything. And just a couple of days ago, as I was driving in my car, I was thinking about the scriptures that talk about how we should do everything for the Lord's glory, and how many people, and I think I, for some reason, was thinking of the Amish. We have a lot of Amish here, and I go there to buy milk and stuff. And they are very, very well known for their wonderful ethics. They're hardworking, and they have this thing where they give credit to scriptures that everything they do is for the glory of God, and that's, you know, solid furniture, home cooked goods, and it's all physical works. And so I was thinking about this passage, and it came to me. It dawned on me that when we do things for the Lord, it's in those moments when I walk into the store and a queer man hands me a mask, I gracefully accept it and thank him instead of venting and giving him a hard time about it. And that's when I give glory. That's when my works glorify God and not the physical works that people are always talking about and, you know, trying to give God credit for a deliciously baked cake when everybody's going to eat it. It's going to credit you anyways, you know. So that was a learning moment, and I thank God for it. And I've had quite a few of those, and God is just so good. He's just so good. He answers questions. There was one I had, and I was like, okay, God, I'm going to have an answer for this one by the end of the day. And literally within 15 minutes of thinking that, the Lord revealed something or other to me that I was questioning too. And it blows me away, coming from a Christian religious background, that once again, I feel like a new Christian. So praise God for his wonderful and merciful goodness.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I heard every bit of that too. I know I look like I was doing, but somebody's trying to get in that I don't guess they've ever been on here. Claire Pinar, P-I-E-N-A-R-A-A-R, and her husband.
Ruan?
Yeah. We had him on before?
No.
No, the names are familiar. They've had a lot of dreams.
Just one at a time, one at a time.
Is it Claire Pinar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I know them from one of David's teachings. They were South African and they are now in Australia.
Okay. All right, I gave her the info, so she should be coming on. They're in Australia now. Well, Greg's got some buddies now.
they've shared a lot of dreams. David shared a lot of dreams that they've had.
Okay. I thought the name sounded familiar, but I didn't recognize it from the conference call. Okay. Anyone else? What's that, Andrew? I see your lips moving. I can't hear you.
I'm just praying.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God that you are.
I kind of got something I'd like to look into sometime, but I'm not really ready for it. I don't know if anybody else is. It's a pretty big topic. It's called the fear of the Lord.
Fear of the Lord?
Yep.
Okay. Has anybody got any?
I've got some scriptures, but, you know, it's just touches it. You know, I'd still like to get more understanding on that. I mean, to say I don't is not, I do have some understanding, but I think there's a lot to it that we don't really grasp until we get closer to the Lord myself, too. So I'm more of a personal thing, too.
Yeah.
So you can talk about them, but unless you got it personally inside you, it doesn't mean a lot. You know, it's going to be a personal relationship thing too.
Can I tell you that the fear of the Lord can be on someone and they can experience it. And then later on, it leaves them. I've seen that happen. I've known people that have, had ND near-death experiences that have gone to hell and got the fear of the Lord on them. And within just a very short time, like a couple of years, they just lose it. Lose that fear.
When I was younger, I really wanted more wisdom. I kept praying about it, praying for wisdom. And the Lord told me one day that I gave you wisdom. And he opened up to me a lot of things that I had done in my younger years amongst my peers, of how it came through that I never noticed until God showed it to me. And he's like, wow, you know, the Lord did give me those moments where I was very wise. And it started out with, you look left and right, but you never look up before you do something. And when you start looking up before you do anything, I think that's what helped me gain that wisdom, by looking at the Lord first before I look side to side or behind me to see, you know, who was watching me. And it was always the Lord watching me. And no matter what I did, it was the Lord watching me. And and then the Lord gives you the right thing to do when you do that. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Anybody ever experience a multiplied fear of the Lord?
I would say that experience for me, it takes a long time to let it down, but I don't. That is what I say, you verloor it. That was like 3 months going on now, eh? Alles.
The what? Okay. I experienced it once. And it was a terrible time in my life. I thought God had just thrown me out of the kingdom, you know. Had absolutely just said, you can't come back in because you did this or you did that. And he kept me in that state for probably 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks. And I'd ask him, I said, Lord, are you going to talk to me? And let me know what it is, you know. She's trying to get in, but she keeps getting a meeting not valid message. What causes that? It's Clara Gal. Meeting not valid. Y'all watch that participant thing down there, and if she comes on, it'll show up down there, somebody trying to enter. But I haven't seen it trying to come in yet.
Seems to me if she just entered your meeting ID, use that.
I gave her the password.
Yeah, and the password, that should be all she needs.
Yeah.
It could be that, is the number not on the internet, it's on the website in error, what actually the Zoom room number is?
Could be, yeah.
How is she trying to come in, by phone or on the internet, I guess?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That'd be the question. Is she trying to dial in or is she trying to use the internet?
I don't know. Let me see.
Might have to do with she's not coming in because she's not coming in from the United States. So, Greg and Joe, how do you come in? Because I know it has to go like Zoom U.S., so maybe it's a different...
Well, I have Zoom on my devices as an app, so right. I just, you know, well, actually, it knows the number because, you know, because of my Zoom link, but I'm just looking at the website now, and it says the meeting ID is 559-450-3877, which I know is not the number for this room.
I gave her the number. Oh, you talking about the telephone number? What's the right number?
I'm looking at the Outreach Teleconference Ministry, but it's giving a Zoom room number. This is not a phone number, I don't think. No. That is I think it was an old one.
Well, the Zoom number is, yeah, but we had to change that because the faction kept coming in. And I've decided not to put it on the website because they would sneak in here and I'd, you know, try to disrupt us. Okay, Steve's got something there. Let me see if they're coming in by phone or computer. Let's see here. Is there... .us Oh, okay. All right. What has anybody got anything else they want to talk about?
Well, I try to get I was wondering why, Dave, what were the scriptures that you were referring to about the fear of the Lord? Just you mentioned it. I'm kind of curious what you were thinking.
All right, I can read a few off here. Let me get to the top. I got a file I start on some of these things so I can get a fuller understanding. So I just start a file on it and start throwing stuff in there.
Psalm 14 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I think Psalm 22 or 23 also talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And
got Psalm 119, 120, my flesh trembles for fear of you. Right. I'm afraid of your judgments.
She says she's using an Apple phone. So what should she put in, Stephen?
Is she trying to come over?
Put the browser and put in the link that you had emailed me months ago, which I put in the chat. I know the link on the website doesn't work. I tried that and couldn't get in, so I had to find that email that had the link in it, and I've stored that in a place where I won't lose it. And that's the one I always use to get in.
Let me find it.
So
that's just right here.
She can just bring up a web browser and put that in there. She should be able to get in, I would think.
If she's got an iPhone, Michael, she needs to download the Zoom app on her phone, and then.
That's true. I already had the Zoom app on my computer, so yeah, she would have to have that and the and the way to get in both.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm doing this, so y'all carry on.
We'll get her in there. Lord, bring him in.
Stephen, does she need to download the app before she tries that link?
Okay. Julie said that she does. I think that's true, yeah.
Okay. Okay, go ahead, Will.
Yeah, it's just a very interesting topic, the fear of the Lord. We had a discussion one evening with Dirk and Paula, and there was another guy there. I think he was very prosperity-minded, and he would not have anything about the fear of the Lord. It was a very... It's like the prosperity churches, they put the fear of the Lord aside, and to fear the Lord is a very bad thing. And that's for the Old Testament. And we had a very intense discussion about it, and at the end of the discussion, there was just a healthy prayer that came out of that, and it was to pray for a healthy fear of the Lord. Because if you've got too much, it's bad, and if you've got too little, it's bad. And what I remember is what interesting scripture for me today is seek your own salvation with fear and trembling. If we can go into that scripture, it will be good, because that's the new covenant, and that's the new contract agreement on our fear. It must be in. We must seek our salvation with fear and trembling. And then what I also wanted to add is Jesus told these disciples that if you want to follow me, you need to love me. You'll do what I tell you to do out of love, not out of... So if you want to be obedient and make it into heaven, it's better to pray for love than for fear, if I understood that correctly. But fear must be in there if I look at that fear and trembling thing.
Absolutely.
So I guess it goes back to getting a healthy fear understanding.
Yeah, and hey, Claire, glad you can make it. Praise the Lord. Hey, how y'all doing? You'd have to unmute yourself. Let me try it here. I can't do it. Y'all have to do it. Oh, there it is.
How y'all doing? To be with you. Good, good. How are you?
We are so blessed.
Absolutely.
This is everybody. Almost.
Oh, hello.
Well, it's good y'all can finally get on. Now you know how.
Yeah, sorry, you. It took a bit of a moment.
Yeah, apologies for messing around there, but at least you got on.
Yeah, amen. Thank you for coming.
Greg's from Australia.
Y'all are from Australia now, aren't you?
Yes, that's the right. Accent sounds South African, but the location is Australia.
Okay, well, it all sounds the same to me. I don't know. It's just... Well, that's
no, awesome. Michael, it's not. That African accent sounds like this. But the Australian sound like
this. That's good.
That's very good.
Okay. I can't tell the difference. Y'all all sound the same to me. You can be from the UK, South Africa, or Australia, or New Zealand, and it all sounds strange. But I sound regular, don't I?
Definitely. Yeah. We've heard you for years.
Yeah. Yeah. People, Claire, people, when they come to Tennessee and they see what I look like, they think that I got overalls on and a corn cob pipe and a straw hat on, you know. Before we had Zoom, they did anyway. I can talk good if I want to, but I don't want to. It's a whole lot easier to talk like I talk. All right. What are we talking about? The fear of the Lord now. Will brought out a good point about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. Reckon what that means. That's not that once saved, always saved stuff, is it? Go ahead, Pat.
That, I guess the thought that I was having is, I posted it there, is in Deuteronomy 6:2, so that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee. That thou and thy son and thy son's son, etc. But, and obviously the old covenant is a picture for us. But so, and I'm thinking of that the fear of the Lord, that there is an aspect of the fear of the Lord that translates over into our new covenant relationship, but it has the same impact or aspect of bringing forth or empowering us to complete obedience. Excuse me. Because it says to keep all his statutes, all his commandments, which I command thee. So there, to me, it speaks of a totality, a completeness, or a perfectness. When God in, says, "Be ye holy as I am holy," and even thinking back of Jesus on the cross when he said, "It is finished." So there's an, I guess I'm, you know, kind of thinking the process through after Dave, you know, brought it up, but there is, I, you know, you mentioned something earlier before, I was thinking of that scripture that the cloud of witnesses which are around us. And there was some, I don't remember where the scripture was at, but it said something about that they should not be made perfect without us. Does that ring a bell where that scripture is at? Somebody can remember where that thing is at, but it's something like that.
That's in Hebrews.
Okay. Is it connected with the cloud of witnesses?
Hebrews 12, 1, 2.
And I was, thank you. Let me just go back. Let me look at that.
I stuck it in the chat.
Oh, good. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The founder and perfecter of our faith. The completer of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God on the throne. I was thinking about historically what has happened since Christ was crucified, the new covenant was initiated, and In the time frame of history, there were certain things. We went through the Dark Ages and everything, and then there was the enlightening period of the Lord bringing to light certain aspects of His truth all the way through history. I think Michael, you were mentioning, you know, talking about it in the 1200s and 1400s, some of these people that were carrying the torch. Well, they were carrying the torch of the reality of Christ that they were aware to receive at that time, they were aware of. And that was a foundation that was added on by others and carried all the way up through history. And I'm thinking like Martin Luther, he brought back into the awareness of Christianity faith by the justification by faith. And then various other different things. In the 1900s, there was the introduction of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and this sort of thing. Well, it seems to me like the Lord is bringing all of that together in this last time, and that it will all be brought together and fulfilled in these last times. Well, I'm rambling now, but anyway, I was struck about that fear of the Lord, because I believe there's probably an aspect of the fear of the Lord that is going to be revealed in our last day here as well, which will have the same reality of our complete and perfect obedience in His Spirit. But anyway, I'll shut up.
Amen. That's true. Let's see what Will has. He's had his hand up for quite a while here. Go ahead, Will.
My mom also wants to say something, but what I wanted to add was exactly what just on what Pat said. David mentioned that there will be a great repentance based in the beginning on fear when everything happens, but it won't stay that. Fear will just be the beginning motivator, and then it will go into love and a healthier fear relationship. It's just I heard that on one of his teachings. Here's my mom.
Evening, everybody. I was looking at Psalm 51:11, and David was scared of fear of rejection by the Lord after Bathsheba. And he actually wrote, do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. And he was very scared that the same thing would happen that happened to Saul, and that God would have taken. And I really believe that if we are prepared to take the good from the Old Testament, we must take the bad as well. And I do believe in God's love, but I know that I don't want to be on his wrong side.
That's not a good place to be. That's not a good place to be. Thank you, Miss Lee. All right. Let's see, Dave, you had your hand up. Go ahead, brother.
Well, got me thinking about that this week, and I've thought on it before, but I got this earlier this weekend. That was Proverbs 2:1-5, and it came up with, my son, if you receive my words and lay up my commandments with you, so that as to incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry after discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So whenever I start going through the Old Testament, and then you even fall into a little bit of the New, I start seeing a fear of the Lord tied in with knowing his commandments, knowing his ways, discerning his way, so that you have that understanding what it is he's about and what he requires. And then I go along. I think is it Leslie? Is that with your name, William's mom? That no, we fear.
Will's mom is Louise.
What's her name?
Louise.
Louise. I'm sorry, Louise. Then we go back also with the fear of understanding what the bad is, the terrible things that happen, the judgments, the reprobations we saw with Israel, and we fear that also with us, and especially if we see the how do you phrase that? I can't remember. The Lord did this with the people of Egypt, Israel, when they left Egypt, and they fell on the Lord's bad side because they kept on having doubt and unbelief, and he showed them as something. I can't remember what it was, his reprobation or something like that.
Provocation?
It was like he was going to show him the backside of his hand from that point. He was not going to ever show him his face. He was always going to be a wall between him and the Lord. He was not going to allow them to get close. They were cast off. That's why they all died in the wilderness, that first generation. It was the sons and daughters that came into the kingdom. the ones that then he calls them the warriors of the Lord, but it's almost a mocking term because they chose not to fight. They chose not to go after the promised land. They rebelled. So men of war, they call them men of war. So anyways, my point is that when the Lord, he draws a line on you, you know, and you say, that's it. There's no more. You're done. I mean, that's a big fear right there. Like, wow, I don't want to get to that point. You don't ever want to have that happen. So you're always trying to stay in tune with the Lord and stay in good with him. And you're always trying to find out what he's all about and get that fear and understanding of who he is and keep that alive inside of you. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is to be reprobated. You know, nobody wants to be reprobated. Anyways, that's just kind of my thoughts a little bit, but still trying to get the full understanding of this, because the more you understand who the Lord is, the more, and you see what he's done in the past with Israel as an example, you know, all the bad things that happened, how he's pushed them out all the time, kicked them out of the land because they were, you know, being disobedient. And it's like, wow, I sure don't want that disobedience. Anyways, I'll stop right now.
Well, Dave, just what we talked about last time, the Lord gave us in this news junkie thing, you know, to take people out if they don't do, if they don't understand that he don't want that. He wants us to run after him rather than the news. I don't know who was first, Andrew or Greg, but one of you, whoever goes first gets it.
All right. Just to follow up on what was said, I was looking at this fear of the Lord thing and just scanning my Strong's Concordance, looking at the phrase fear of the Lord in the Old Testament and a bit in the New. And look, I'll just chuck this in there because this is an oversimplification, but it seems there's two fears of the Lord in the Old Testament. There was one that those who put the fear of the Lord on the nations round about them, which was like an incredible alarm, you know, frightened, that they, so they wouldn't attack them. And then there was the fear of the Lord that's spoken of in some of the verses that have been put up in the chat, which was, and again, this is a simplification, but a reverential fear. You know, not to say there's not a bit of daunt in that, because there is. But anyway, that's this. It seems to come from two root words, which I can give the Hebrew the Strong's reference, but I won't bother at this point of time. But what I found with the word, you know, I'm looking at the word hope at the moment in some depth. And it's not like our English concept in the Old Testament. There's many, about 24 different words. And it's the same with fear, not quite as many words, but there seems to be a lot of, well, I've found about five or six so far. But fear of the Lord, there seems to be two types of fear of the Lord. Those that, like, we're not going to attack them because, you know, we know who's with them. And then there's those who have, he's with us, but we give him, you know, we give him, you know, due respect. There you go. That's my two bobs worth. All yours, Andrew.
Well, on Tuesday, you gave me something about unclean and clean. And I think this collates with this fear of the Lord. And I give you a benediction on what the Lord says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says not to be unequally yoked. So there's some fear with that. But I want to look at this from a different perspective. And Greg did mention it quite a bit, a little bit on it. He will curse those that curse you and bless those that bless you. So there's the fear of the Lord in that too. So the first mention of the fear in the Bible, from my Strong's Concordance, was in Genesis 9 and 2. And it's talking about different beasts there again. And you know how in Leviticus 11:46 and the entire chapter of 11 you mentioned last meeting, well, it goes into all these animals that will fear man. But I was just kind of wondering there when you see the first portion of that scripture, it says, "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast." So I was just kind of wondering, you know, because we know that there is a beast. If there's a spiritual relation there, you know, like if you take into account Romans 14 on how young some people could be, the Lord protects them. So I'm just pitching out a different view of this on how the Lord protects his people and how that could even lead to the fear of the Lord for someone else. Because the Lord can take someone out around you because he might make a lot of fun of the Lord's child, and that person gets taken out. You can remember the story of David Eales and the older boy there, and how his dad passed out and died because he chased a robber away who stole his son's bike, and that young lad was speaking badly about David Eales to his son. So there is that type of fear too, that they don't even realize that they might be going through, and because of what they did to God's people, you know. So, and I think that happens at various levels. Like if a person is weak in the Lord, as it says in Romans 14, those people will be protected by the Lord because he's capable of bringing them through. So I think that's something you really have to look at, because we're praying for those people to see the truth too, you know. So we're praying for those people who might be young and stuck in the pre-tribulation rapture thing, so that they can be freed from it. Of course, at the Lord's will here, you know. So, and for the loved ones we have, that they come to the knowledge of the truth. So that's basically it, you know. That don't partake of things unclean. Don't eat those animals. You're not supposed to. And if any of you think I'm Jewish, no, it's not that. You can't eat those things, you know. I'm told, you know, I'm actually told you're supposed to, I wrote it down here somewhere, you're supposed to eat the roll, you know, the dinner roll there. There's a dinner roll at the Lord's table. It's a scroll, okay? And it's mentioned somewhere in the Old Testament, and, you know, so there's things at the Lord's table, you know, and it was kind of interesting me listening to partaking of, it was a song about the covenant, and he was singing about the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine. From People in Song, you know, and I'm reading this chapter 11, and that song is in the background, and I'm going, okay, Lord, what are you trying to tell me here? And that was pretty cool. So that was just a little happening today. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Will.
I just had a question. Sorry if it's a silly question. Is there anything as an unhealthy fear relationship with the Lord? Or is all fear just very, very healthy? And even if you have a ton of fear and you're trembling every day, is that considered healthy?
No. No, it's not. You should have a reverential fear, as they say. But if you're in sin, you should have a healthy dose of God's fear upon you. Because what it does, it makes you want to do good and repent and come back to God. It's when you don't have fear and in sin that you're in trouble. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was thinking how the Bible tells us to, in all of our ways, acknowledge God, and that without fear, it is impossible, without faith, I'm sorry, it is impossible to please God. for those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I think when we go about our own business without acknowledging God and we totally forget about God, that we walk out from under the fear of God. I believe by just reverencing him and considering that he's already got the best path for our feet, and when we try to walk by the flesh, we don't walk on the path that God has chosen for us, and that protection and that fatherly tap on the right and the left to keep us on the straight path is what we need. So, you know, we don't know how to go in or come out without his help. Jesus even said he could do we could do nothing without him. And I think just keeping that presence of God and that attention to heaven that says, God, I can't make little decisions without you. I need you in every part of my life. I need to acknowledge you. I think that is a healthy fear of God, because he's chosen us, he's loved us, and he's lavished us with his promises and with his love and destiny. And we owe it to him to walk as he has chosen for us to walk. And it helps our families, and it helps everybody around us. And that's the way I see it. I could be barely scratching the surface, though. Love y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a good word, George. Hey, George, would you dismiss us with prayer, please, sir?
Yes, sir. Father, we come into your presence boldly by the blood of Jesus. We know that you hear our prayers. We know that your ear is attentive to us and that your face is towards us. So we will have joy, Lord. We will choose joy in every instance of life. We'll continue to walk in your favor with God and man. And Father, we thank you for the new day on the other side of the world where my brothers and sisters are joining us, and we thank you for peaceful sleep for us who are going to put our heads on our pillows. And Father, wake us with a refreshed vigor that tells us that this is the day that you have made. Lord, let us look forward to every day in you as we run our race, as we win every crown that you would have set before us, so that we can one day lay them before you, King Jesus. Lord, we lift up your holy name, and we thank you that all hell trembles at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We thank you for loving us and choosing us. And Lord, don't let us leave one precious promise on the table. We want to take advantage of everything you've done for us, Lord. Remind us that you are alive, and it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. We love you so much, Lord, and we thank you, and we receive your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay, amen. Y'all. We unmute everybody. And turn.